Order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Getz.
Here.
Supervisor Kubicki.
Here.
Supervisor Elverman.
Yes.
Supervisor Rose. Supervisor Esposito.
Here.
Supervisor Hallman. Supervisor Brunig.
Here.
Youth and Governance, Mr. Bell.
Here.
Ms. Lyle.
Here.
Okay, before we head on to citizens' comments, we'll introduce ourselves since this is your first meeting. And I'll encourage you at any point in time, if you have questions, concerns, input into what you're talking about, please raise your hand and I'll acknowledge you. And we want to make you part of the committee and the understanding of what we're trying to do here. I don't know if Kim talked about going to some other meetings, but you know, the finance meetings and some of the county board meetings can be interesting if there's things on there you want more information on too. So, okay, why don't we start with you? We'll work our way around the room and just give us your name, where you go to school.
Okay, I'm Abby Blyle. I go to Jumper.
Hunker already. There we go.
I'm Kahari Bell, and I go to Harborside.
Very good.
Dan Esposito, Supervisor, District 16.
Ed Kubicki, Vice Chair, District 6.
Jeff Gantz, Chairman of the County Board, District 3.
Dennis Elverman, I am District 23. Chairman of Highways and Parks Golf and Facilities. The first three are self-explanatory facilities, are the buildings. That's where you're sitting now. House of Corrections, Courthouse. So the committee is handles anything the county owns.
So if you have questions about buildings, county buildings.
Kim Brunig, I am the Chair of Planning, Development, Extension, Education Committee, District 21.
Linda Haney, I'm a legal assistant in the Corporation Counsel's Office.
Go ahead, let's keep rolling.
I'm Bernie Bash, I'm the lawyer for the county.
He guards our back.
My name is Todd Bale. I'm a guest here tonight making a presentation. I'm the president of the Kenosha Area Business Alliance. We're a public-private economic development organization that does work with Kenosha County on business development and economic development.
Rick Dodge, supervisor, 5th District. Not on the committee, just nosy.
Okay, thank everybody for their patience on that and introductions, and we'll go on to citizens' comments. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Seeing nobody, citizens' comments are closed. Any chair, supervisor, youth and governance comments? I have none at this point. I also have no communications. Approval of May 14th, 2013 minutes.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Vice Chair Kubicki, seconded by Supervisor Brunig to approve the minutes of May 14th. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Let the record show. Supervisor Rose is here. If you'd like to tell them your district and your name, we did introductions with our new youth and governor.
Hi, Terry Rose, 3rd District. 2nd District, no.
Update from Todd Battle on CABA activities. Todd?
I think you may have some of this literature, but I'll just share it anyways, just so everyone's got the most up-to-date version. I'll just open it up for myself.
Oh, sorry.
All right, that's it. So I introduced myself as Todd Battle. I work with the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, and we've been asked by the executive committee tonight to kind of come and give an economic development update or overview in terms of what's new in the county. We recently made a fairly similar presentation to the finance committee, so any of the members of this committee that also participated in that or served in that, apologize for a little bit of redundancy, but that was some of the items there were similar items that committee was interested in. So a couple items I shared. A quarterly newsletter that we pass around. That's just kind of a good general overview of a lot of activity going on at CABA, economic development projects, items going on in the area with respect to workforce development and education, things going on with the business community, just kind of a quarterly publication that we do to keep the community abreast of what's going on the economic development front or in the business community. The second item, this kind of just this word, simple Word document, a 4 or 5 page Word document. This is just a summary of economic development and projects activities for the last probably 12 to 18 months, in some instances, maybe a little bit longer. But this is something that we started to produce on behalf of the county as we were regularly invited to tag along with the county and its finance team when it presented to Moody's and Standard & Poor's and other bond rating agencies. And they were always curious, what's been going on in your community the last 12 months or 18 months? So we started to produce this report and then just keep it current. So you'll see this report kind of in an updated fashion. A couple things I'd highlight on here, maybe some new items in the either really late 2012 or the beginning of this year, last 5 months or so, maybe some things to highlight on the economic development front. One project that we were happy to see come to fruition, Meyer Stores acquired Super Value's Midwest Distribution Facility in Pleasant Prairie. Shortly thereafter, started the permit process with the Village of Pleasant Prairie, and they're getting ready to construct about a 250,000 square foot addition to that facility in Pleasant Prairie. Once done and fully operational, Meyer intends to employ about 486 people at the distribution facility. Simultaneously, they're in the process of trying to site about a half a dozen stores throughout southeast Wisconsin, and they are working to site one in the city of Kenosha. Somewhat related to that economic development effort, Super Value, who sold their real estate to Meyer so that Meyer could operate it as a distribution facility, moved their distribution operations to other facilities that they already had, but they had about 200 people placed in their what they called their Midwest Region Headquarters office. And our effort there was to retain those people and those jobs and that and Super Value in the community. We worked with the company and their management team and some real estate professionals to help them find an alternative location. They ended up signing a lease to occupy about a 43,000 square foot office facility in Lakeview Corporate Park. And they moved, they're in the process of moving into that facility as they built it out. A couple new manufacturing projects. Good Foods Group, which was is really kind of coming online towards the end of the first quarter. They're a food manufacturer that bought a facility in Pleasant Prairie. Handy Ramp is just getting their manufacturing operation up and running in the business park of Kenosha. Kona Cranes, which is a Finnish manufacturing company, is moving an operation into Lakeview Corporate Park. They're going to operate, occupy about a 45,000 square foot industrial facility where they'll make control panels for their lifts and hoists and other types of crane equipment. Emco Chemical Distributors, which is mentioned in the newsletter there. They're a chemical company based in North Chicago. A few years ago, they bought the former Lauder Eastman Chemical, Hexion Specialty Chemicals building in Pleasant Prairie. They're in the process of moving their corporate headquarters into that facility. I think they intend to be in there by July. L&M Corrugated Container just announced within the last 4 or 5 weeks they're acquiring a 99,000 square foot industrial facility in Lakeview Corporate Park. It formerly housed a company called CPI Plastics. Ta Chen International, which is a Korean steel distribution business, they are working with CenterPoint, and they're in the process of constructing just under a 500,000 square foot industrial facility in Lakeview Corporate Park, and they're just breaking ground on that. So those are a few kind of pretty sizable industrial projects that are getting on underway. I would say also that just from a deal flow and activity perspective in terms of the industrial market, we're seeing pretty good volume of activity, probably as much or more so than any time in the recent past. Probably the last time we had this much activity in our pipeline was probably 2007-2008 time frame when we were recruiting Uline's headquarters, and we did a Gordon Food Service project and Affiliated Foods Midwest all within the course of about 8 or 9 months. So there's really a good amount of activity, a lot of interest in southeast Wisconsin, and we're seeing some pretty good projects come across the board, and we're really competing hard to land some of those. There's a number of other projects listed in here that are, you know, less economic development projects or competitive economic development projects that CAB is involved in, but more just to keep the community abreast of what's going on. Things like Aurora Healthcare's new cancer treatment center and new retail stores like Festival Foods buying the Super Value Spiegelhof store and things like that are also listed in here. So pretty good overview of economic items. I think the at the end, I just kind of give a couple bullet points, but a couple of key points to note. The county's unemployment rate has fallen almost 5 percentage points from the peak, which was in February 2010 of almost 13%. It's now hovering around 8%. Major layoffs and similar events have subsided pretty significantly. We've seen slow, steady improvement in business expansions, investment, and now finally starting to see a little pickup in hiring. Our industrial vacancy rate has come down. We've really done a fairly good job of absorbing a lot of industrial property, and we're probably getting to the point where industrial construction activities going to take place in an accelerated form, now that a lot of the vacant industrial space has been occupied. And we're seeing a lot of good industrial prospect activity in our pipeline.
Todd?
Sure.
First of all, do you know Racine County's unemployment rate? Yeah, I know that or not.
It's higher than that.
I thought so. Have it?
I don't know it exactly. I know it's probably a little bit higher than ours in the ballpark.
Okay, the next question I have is, this is an excellent report. I'm happy to hear this, and I'm seeing new companies in here that haven't been reported to us in the past, and that makes me feel good, because I think as our development goes with big and small businesses, that's really what gets us going economically. Are there any in here that we're losing? I mean, maybe not listed here, but do you know of any industrial losses that kind of offset some of this gain? I mean, that you're aware of?
In terms of, there was a question when we presented at the Finance Committee where somebody asked, you know, these are the wins, where do the losses show up? There is a mass layoff report that the Job Center and the Department of Workforce Development collects. We pay attention to that. The only thing of note that I paid attention to when I saw that most recent report, which is something that we've referenced in here, was SuperValu did close their distribution operations. We think that's more than offset by Meijer coming and, you know, putting in a facility that will employ about three times the amount of people that SuperValu's distribution operations did. In the last, at least if memory serves, in the last 6, 12 plus months, no really kind of mass layoff notices in the county to speak of. I'm certain, you know, that there are companies that have laid people off or have reduced their workforce or have gotten slow. But in terms of those being kind of major events where a mass layoff, I think, is typically characterized as, I think, layoffs of events of 50 or more people. So not really much to speak of other than the SuperValu one I mentioned. In terms of missed opportunities, we compete for projects all the time, and the ones that, you know, make it on this sheet, obviously we land. There are projects that we get on we compete for, we get on a short list, and ultimately they select another site, and that happens all the time.
And then a lot of that is out of our control. I mean, they use us as getting onto our short list to compete to get somewhere else. So that doesn't really bother me as much as, you know, the closing down of businesses that we do have. I love the fact that we found another place for the SuperValu people to go, you know, and salvage some of that. I mean, usually when somebody's bought out and their force leaves and you hire a whole new group, you're usually out of luck with what you had before. I mean, that's been my, you know, what I've seen. And so to salvage the fact that we're, you know, we're retaining some of that is a great asset or a great coup for us there.
Supervisor Gentz or Chairman Gentz, I'd also just say, you know, there are some things where we'll highlight, hey, this is a new manufacturer that moved here because it's notable. But there's a lot of data in here where you'll look at a firm like Allied Plastics, who's a thermal forming company out in Twin Lakes, and I just talked to their owners within the last week. They said, we now have 176 full-time employees. I go, you guys are growing like crazy. What were you 3 years ago? And they go, about 75. So they've added 100 employees in the last 3 years just through organic growth. They're landing contracts like crazy. They're making a lot of good parts for a lot of good clients. They're chasing new business, and they're hiring a lot of people. So that's 175 people that are full-time employees of the company. And I know at one time they had as many as 50 to 75 temporary people that they would hire, you know, through a Manpower or a Kelly Services or something like that, just to keep up with volume or production schedules, but 100, you know, they've added about 100 jobs in the last 3 years, and Bradshaw Medical would be a similar story, and there's other companies like that in there. So we clearly try to pay attention to the existing business base too, and make sure when they have opportunities to grow and expand, we're supporting them, helping them, working on workforce issues, helping them finance equipment purchases and those types of things.
Yeah, the bond agencies will love to hear your report. Supervisor Rosen.
Todd, these are all good points. I think there is a area in the city of Kenosha which really needs some development, and maybe a committee to, if you don't already have one, to look at that area between 39th Avenue on the west, 75th Street on the south, Washington Road on the north, perhaps even a little further north. But that's an area where a tremendous amount of industry was located at one time, all gone, and it's something the city ought to be concentrating on and looking for some development and jobs. There's a tremendous amount of deterioration, I think, going on in that whole area, which seems to be spreading.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you that that's an area that, you know, just generally we'd like to see more investment capital. I think you got to do a dual track approach, though. I mean, we have some incredibly marketable land sites and areas in and around the interstate and around the industrial, mm-hmm. the industrial parks and the interchanges, and those are in high demand. So it's kind of like we have to take advantage of those opportunities to market and sell properties in those kind of core developing areas along the interstate. And I think that's smart in terms of how we utilize infrastructure. But, you know, there's got to be this dual strategy where when Chrysler moves out, you know, we clean up that site and we start to put a plan in place for brownfield revitalization. And to me, that would be the redevelopment of the Chrysler site, I think, is a pretty critical component of that kind of that area you're talking mm-hmm. about. But that's a big chunk of 110 acres right mm-hmm. in the middle of it that used to be a center of, you know, an economic engine and a center of commerce, and it's, you know, it's vacant now. So what it becomes over the next 5 or 10 years is really going to have a big impact on the community. So that is an area of interest for us, an area of concern. And I also think, you know, what helps and strength is we've put a pretty big strategic bet or investment in downtown revitalization. I think if we have a healthy, vibrant, attractive downtown that becomes more of a magnet for activity, it certainly helps the areas in between the, you know, the western parts of the community and the county out near the eye and that kind of the area you're referring to, because there's going to be more foot traffic, more mm-hmm. commerce, more people coming to the area. So I think those are a couple of good points.
Speaking of the Chrysler, Todd, speaking of the Chrysler facility, 110 acres, is there anything slated to do anything there? Or is it, We talked about some things, and I mean, maybe there's nothing. I just kind of curious.
Yeah, it's a long term play. So the what's happened or transpired over the last, say, 3 to 6 months, the property's been removed, and so the forgive the terminology. I think that it's a liquidating trust that essentially controls the property. They've removed the structures on the site. Eventually, the end game for them would be to give the title to the city, so the city would have ownership of the property, and that puts the city in the driver's seat in terms of remediation and the ability to receive environmental grants and cleanup funds to repurpose the site. I'm not positive, I'm not an environmental remediation expert, but I think that's a year or two process of groundwater, soil remediation, and those and the like, you know, cleaning up the site a bit. So it may be a couple of years before the site's marketable or usable, but I do think, you know, now's the time to start having that discussion about what is the future of that site look like. And we've had some really early informal conversations. I know in the past the community's had really good fortune working with a firm called the Urban Land Institute, where the Urban Land Institute provides some professional consulting services where they will come in and take a look at a site like that and help you get a plan for what works at that site, what will the market bear, what does the site have functionality as, what's the infrastructure they're going to support, and help you kind of put that plan in place and start marketing it. So I think it's a good question. It's probably, realistically, it's probably a year to two, plus or minus, until you could really build something on the site because of the cleanup work that has to take place. But it's probably a good time to start planning for it.
Well, don't you think we're kind of kidding ourselves if you're going to think big industry is going to come into that area? I don't think it's a marketable site for a factory to come in like it used to be, only for the simple fact as the hot and real estate being on the eye, what manufacturer company is going to pay an extra 4 miles at $4 a gallon in diesel coming to a city when they have easy on and easy off access at, you know, on the eye? That's my thinking, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's going to have to be a smaller type of business or light industry type thing. It's not going to, I mean, do you agree with that or disagree with that?
I do. I think that site does have, I think there are some advantages to taking a long look at whether that site could be an industrial park, but I don't envision it being something like Lakeview Corporate Park where you've got, you know, million square foot distribution facilities and 300 trucks a day there. I don't think it makes sense, and I don't think it, the economics pencil.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at the older parks like the Kenosha Industrial Park or the Business Park at Kenosha, and I see a lot of 30 to 50,000 square foot manufacturing facilities in there that employ 30 to 50 people, and they have two trucks in the morning with raw materials and two trucks out at night with finished goods. And for them, the proximity to their workforce is more important than the proximity to the interstate. And but I think the economic model that works there is that we'd have to be super aggressive. Like, we would have to go to companies and go, hey, we'll give you 5 acres to build a new factory, but we'll give you the land if you come and generate the jobs and the tax base in this urban industrial park. And there are models like that have been relatively successful. But I think there's got to be something there that has economic activity and jobs and commerce. Per your comment about the neighborhood and the concerns about, you know, what happens in this kind of core urban area of the city, I think you got to have some activity going on there. That it is employment and business activity, and there's people and traffic and stuff going on.
Thank you.
Good point, though.
You want to continue on?
Yeah, that was kind of it with respect to the first two items, and then the last one is something we started producing as a note that we're using with our board of directors. This was the first time we produced this, and it's the first time we're using it, so we've got some work to do. But I think it's a way that we're going to start to be able to communicate a little bit more effectively about, you know, what our strategic goals are as an organization and how we want to influence economic development. But we really are, we've looked at a lot of economic development organizations around the country, and we've, you know, consulted with a lot of different organizations that help communities measure their economic development performance, and this is kind of our stealing and begging and borrowing of the various best practices. So we want to take a look at jobs, capital investment, lead activity, website activity. For us, we're an economic development lender, so economic development financing, and then the efforts of our business retention program. So we're going to start using this as our scorecard. So we want to have an impact on bringing 1,000 new jobs into the community or supporting the growth of 1,000 new jobs each year. So far this year, and, you know, the half a dozen projects or so I mentioned that have taken place in this year, we've helped influence about 275 new jobs by helping a company expand or helping encourage a company to make an investment here. We want to generate about $100 million of new capital investment or influence that. So far, year to date through April 30th, we've attributed to about $41 million of new investment. We want to generate 50 new leads in terms of legitimate prospects over the course of a year. So, you know, four plus leads a month that are realistic prospects for us. Through April 30th, we contacted 20 different prospects that we're in some form of activity with. And then there's just other stats here on our website visits and our retention program. On the financing and retention program, I just make a quick note. We want to do about, you know, our goal is to contribute about $3 million in new financing through April 30th. You know, the number here says zero. We've got about $1.7 million committed. We just have not closed for a variety of reasons, but we anticipate those closing shortly, a couple of loans that we've approved. And then on the BRE program, we lost a staff person late in the year 2012, and we just went through kind of a pretty extensive recruitment process, and we're in the process of bringing a new person on. So that staff person was chiefly responsible for our BRE program, so that suffered a bit without adequate staffing. So we intend, when that new team member joins us in early July, to get after this and get this number back where it needs to be. But this is kind of a visual representation of things that we think are kind of key items that CABA ought to be paying attention to, and we're going to use it to communicate with our board and other stakeholders about how we're doing and what we're focused on. So that'd be it.
Any other questions for Todd or comments?
Thanks for the update.
I should like to throw something out for thought. I mentioned that today about the Chrysler plant, and maybe in part, maybe not the whole plant, but Kenosha right now has they have that peanut butter and jam that's real attended very well.
Yeah,
they've got the jazz thing over by Kemper Center, and they got the Pops Band and Kennedy Drive. And I think I've gone down to Ravinia Park. That's a beautiful place. The train stops there. They've got music down there. And we could take, you know, we could make something like that out. And all we'd have to do is just landscape it, put in some trees and a stage. We're not talking a lot of money, but I think get the trolley, go up there. I think that would be a real good idea for people to talk about doing it in some of that area. So I just want to throw it out for discussion. Somewhat on the area like Ravinia Park, I don't know how many have been there, but I think it's beautiful. Just wanted to mention it.
Okay.
Thank you, Supervisor Dodge. You were making a comment.
I just made a comment. I appreciate him coming in and giving us a nice update here, keeping us abreast of what's going on in the community.
Okay. That concludes that. I'm going to switch the order of our agenda here, and I'm going to move 8 and 9 up to the 7th spot, move the 7 back down to where 9 is. So right now we'll take status of the Corp Council's budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's in your materials tonight, and the projected for the past budget and the spend is tracking very well, and there are no surprises. We don't have as many lawsuits as we've had in recent years, and so we're conserving our legal fees, outside counsel legal fees and trial costs in that regard. Some of our payments for books and things were all coming in the beginning of the year, as I mentioned before, so that's a little bit over the average, but we're on track for what we're going to be spending this year. And we have a little more revenue coming in from joint services than we had budgeted for, because they were not using us as much in previous couple of years, but they are using us more this year. Some of that, that slowed down, but we expect they'll pick up again before the end of the year. And that's about it.
Okay. Any questions, comments on that budget? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to my creation. I just put this on here to let you know that I'll be announcing the creation of a small business task force. Goals behind that are I thought about this way back when I started the idea in my head, and it was too general for me. So as I move forward, I wanted to tackle every phase of small business, defining it, figuring out an approximate number of what they are, where they are, counties abutting us, what they do to help small business, you know, what their fees and startups are, how they retain their small business, what they do to help them in an ongoing situation, and then look at our, through the city and the county, and see if we're doing everything we can to help small business. I believe in my heart that our stimulus money was wasted on big business, and it should have been sent to the small businesses that really run our country and are really the grinding force of our economy. So it's nothing that's going to, you know, bring about any change, but at the end they're going to bring a report to the executive committee prior to the elections next year. So they'll meet about 8 to 10 times. It's going to be a seven-member panel. It's going to be chaired by Supervisor Johnson. Anita Johnson, Vice Chair Kubicki, is going to be on it. Supervisor Esposito. We have James McFall, a Parkside Director of Small Business Development Center, that's going to be on it. Jessica Sorensen, she is a small business owner, has a degree in marketing, so she volunteered for it. Todd Battle, or a designee from CABA, is going to be on it, whether it's their new downtown person or somebody from their finance department or somebody like that. I had a discussion with him, and it could be him as well. And then I asked Eric Haugard, I don't know if he's still the current president of the city council, to be on it. So I wanted to work together with them to have their input and let this report go to them as well, because we're all partners in this. So again, just what am I looking to do with this? I'm looking to shine a light on small business and see how we are as a county in bringing them on board, helping them, making them viable and sustainable. And that's really, and then getting a report on where this committee thinks we are in regard to small business. So that's what I'm going to do. And if anybody has any questions or comments about that, I'll certainly entertain them at this point. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. Resolution policy to honor county board supervisors with memorial.
I make a motion that we table that while the others do that in attendance. It's not an urgent resolution, and I think it's something that people more likely like to be present for.
Okay, there's a motion to table that until our next meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
It's been seconded. All those in favor of tabling this and putting it on our next agenda, if the two supervisors who are sponsoring it can be here. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, this is tabled. Okay, chair updates on your activities. Supervisor Alderman.
No, there's no worse things. And I think I've kept everybody up to date on the building that we've been doing, the buying of the property that we've done. Now we're getting closer and closer on that 66th. One of the key things, naturally, for my committee is the golf courses. And as of a week ago, we were 6,400 some rounds behind last year. And that's all weather related. We got started in March. This year it was 5 weeks later. So we won't know what's going to happen there for a long time. We just won't know how that's going to work out at profit loss. They've been working diligently to control costs. So right now they're very busy, you know, on a day like today. But they have way too many down days. So it's again way too early to know what's going to happen there. Paving season is beginning. You've seen activity, with many of the roads, and we'll be starting our paving crews and the mileage that we're going to be doing. So that's a busy time of year for that group. The parks, again, this time of year, become very busy. So it's an active time. They've got all their beaches open, beaches that we operate. Parks are very busy. So as far as the projects that the facilities has ongoing, the biggest one is this building, and that's the study that's being done. Not totally complete bid process, but we do know that we are going to do this waterproofing when the city opens up these two sites. We've already, as a county board, allotted that. And with the purchase of the property next door, when that comes true, it will be free to do some more of the work. But the big work, as we did on the courthouse, that's going to occur on this building, won't be until the next year and a half. We're in the process now of getting the cost together and then the bidding will happen. So it's no major money other than that waterproofing of those two sides with the demolition.
The project for this building obviously isn't going to be as extensive as it was for that, correct?
No, the estimates are like, the estimates are over $2 million.
Yeah. And my next question, Katy Park, is that open all week? I mean,
every day.
Every day now? I mean, I know there was an issue with that when I was on the committee.
It's been open every day since the last year.
Okay, so I mean, weekends, everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yes, Dennis, any thought or any talk on we take this building down next door, about the unemployment building next to it?
No. No, I mean, that hasn't come up, you know, as far as, but long term, we know that if we own that building next door and we own that building, mm-hmm. future parking, I mean,
that's what
pretty logical that that's where we would go since we know that there's problems here.
And then they came to us, facilities came to us about the air conditioning and the building. What's that?
Brightendale.
Did that happen to come in yet, get installed, or are we waiting on that?
We were waiting, and I believe it should be about now.
Okay.
There was 2 weeks, they said. Nobody carries inventory anymore.
That's what happened. I just didn't know if inventory came in or if we found a piece or whatever.
I mean, that's...
That was my question.
Yeah, you said that stuff sitting around.
Especially big units.
Thank you.
Got a quick question. What about, how's that parking ramp? You know, we got everything working. Does that seem to be working pretty good?
I wonder what y'all about it. Must be working.
I know. You know.
I know we're getting paid.
Okay.
I've got three questions for you. The waterproofing, is there a way to time it so we can waterproof the whole building at the same time? Or are we going to be looking at extra costs to have a waterproofer come out for a second time? I don't really know waterproofing, so I don't know, you know, we're going to do two sides and have to have them come back after we rip that up. I mean, right. Is there...
It's basically from what, and I asked the same questions, it's done separately. They're going to tear up this whole street and sidewalk. So they'll dig down and they do the waterproofing on that side. This is the city is going to tear up that whole street, so they'll do it. So it would be done separately. They would never lay bare, according to who I asked, they would never lay bare four sides of a building unless it was out in the middle of a desert and there was nobody around. They would do it one side at a time, no matter what.
Okay. Second thing is where are we with the liquor license at the golf courses?
Well, we're too late for this.
I understand that, and I knew we would be, but I don't want to fall into the same hole we're in now as having this discussion when we're too late next year.
Right. It's going to take a political effort of the county board to do it.
Okay.
It's something I've pushed for years and to no avail. There's a large political effort against it. So, I guess you have to choose your battles.
I would assume this committee wants that battle to be had, and I think your committee wanted that battle to be had. If I'm
well, the chair did, not necessarily the whole committee. And when I say political effort, I'm talking about private businesses in Kenosha County that have lobbied against it. So, that's been listened to by the administration, has that power. That's
who would lobby against us providing
golf courses?
Other golf courses?
Yes.
And why wouldn't they lobby against it? Right.
That's where that ever came and comes from, continues to come.
Are we in consensus that should be looked at and done? I mean, as a...
Yeah.
I think we ought to draft up a resolution
and present it
to the board and bring it to a head and vote on it, up or down. We keep talking about the same old issue. Let's put it up or down.
I agree, and that's why I keep asking.
I thought Dennis's group was working on it.
Well, we did. We had RFPs drafted, and we had, according to the purchasing people, no responses. We wanted to not irritate local businesses, so we definitely wanted someone that had a liquor license in that area to have a chance at response there. But it became stalled, and it became too late to administer something for this year. And it was intentionally stalled, and it was something that wasn't a high priority for other people. But the committee had it on, and I had to fight tooth and nail to get beer sales out.
Yeah.
I mean, that was something that was unheard of. So I think that business thinking people all are aware that that's something that if you're out there on an evening like tonight, sit down at Brightdale, beautiful location, if a guy can sit there and have a cocktail, and after his round of golf, it can make a huge difference.
Yeah. I mean, that just doesn't make any
sense.
And
I'm not at all bad mouthing people that are against this. No. But I think it's a business decision that we need to make.
Well, I'm not bad mouthing anybody either. I'm not faulting anybody. I just think that we as a committee, and from what I hear, the majority of the board sees this as the way to go. And we get reports from you on how we're struggling on the amount of rounds, and we have the ability to attract people to golf, keep them around and make other money. And I mean, if we're going to be in the business, we're in the business. We're either, not in the business, or we're going to support it. To me, it makes no sense. And I thought this was being taken care of a year and a half ago.
Question. What's our time frame to draft this resolution so we don't miss it for next year? I mean,
We're in good shape right now.
Yeah.
But, when you get put RFPs out, it depends on how complicated you make them with things and how you can scare people off.
Sure.
And, there's got to be a way a food service company would love to move it.
You know how many people have told me that if they had liquor out there, they would golf there more?
Well,
I can't tell you.
And we would keep our leagues there longer. So.
Yep.
I mean, we're all aware of the pros.
Okay, thank you.
Dennis, you say that people are scared from the RFPs. Would it help them, though, if there was a resolution from the board stating that we support this?
I don't think so, because we make our RFPs so complicated that these small people, what I was after was the one license holder in Brighton, since it's located in Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay. So they're saying that we're going to be battling someone that owns a liquor license. Okay, so we approach the only license holder in Brighton and let them be the food service.
I remember that, yeah.
And Jesus, they're not equipped to go.
They didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Well,
they
wouldn't
be able to support it, right?
Jesus. So it will take, so just so everybody knows, it will not be somebody from this area that takes that over. It's a large undertaking. So it will be some professional food service company that bids. It won't be a local.
I don't have a problem with that. Let's just get it moving.
And I don't think our staff is opposed to it at all. When I say our staff, I mean Dan.
Mm-hmm.
They and the people that are operating them.
Mm-hmm.
They would love not to have that portion
mm-hmm.
to deal with.
Well, is it best to have this come from this executive committee or your committee?
It's come from my committee numerous times.
I mean, I'm talking about the resolution to present to the board on the agenda.
From the executive committee.
Oh, you do?
It's come from my committee.
Why don't you put that resolution together and put it on the agenda and proceed?
I'm not too concerned about having someone from outside to do this. Because when we do RFPs, we have people from other places bidding on those.
Oh, definitely.
So
we want a professional.
Right.
And we want someone. And the main thing is we have to also, and Bernie knows this, as a county, we can't do it.
Right.
Because we issue liquor licenses. So we get away with that out of Kemper because they operate. So we need someone else to do this. And that's why we do the RFP. We can't issue liquor licenses, class A anyway, and hold. I don't know if we can be.
Question. Now, does this affect our fish fries and things like that or not really, or it will?
Oh, sure. Because
they're going to take over the whole.
They would take over the whole thing. And they become quite popular.
Yeah, that's what I mean, so.
Which would I think, for someone that was going to bid, because they'd also have that for 7 months. So that's just...
So Brighton Jail, Dan is supposed to be retired, what, next year?
2014.
Bernie, could you start working on a resolution from us for that, and then you and I will sit down and talk and go over it?
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on that? I don't see a problem with that. The last thing on my little checklist here is our beetle battle. How's that going?
The beetle, everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
We have the only known sighting in Salem Township, if you read the papers, it was at Fashion River. So what you do is you remove them. We removed that tree that day, and we have, as you all know, we accepted or gave permission for Mr. Rudiger to apply for grants. If you're going to accept grant money, what we had to do was we had to, first we had to go with a plan. And that plan has to be in place if you're going to apply for grant money from state, federal, for Emerald Ash Board. So we have that. We gave them permission. I'm not sure if the plan is here yet, but it was like a $25,000 plan. And then there'll be a ability for us to accept money and apply for grants. Because we have, we've got that one, but we do know that a couple of our parks are 60%. So we are gonna have a deforestation.
Oh yeah, I know. And the beetles don't just come and sit in one tree.
No.
So I mean, they got to be all over.
Well, my business, we've known for 20 years. We quit selling hash about 7 years ago, and the ones that we had, we sold to Colorado because it's gonna take another 12, 13 years for it to get there. It was in Ohio, and we knew it was in Michigan and Illinois, and now it's in Wisconsin. It's in Wisconsin, and it's going to be in Wisconsin. If you talk to the city forester, if I look across the street, I see an ash tree. There's a lot of ash trees here.
That's my concern. That's why it was.
Yeah. And that's why I tell you, Mr. Rudy is very proactive, and now we've got that study in place, and that's the law that they laid down, that if you have that, then you can apply for grants.
Yeah, I'd like to know where we are, if we've applied for any, but we'll sit down next time.
Yeah. So, I think it was just 2 months ago that we gave them the permission for the study, so
yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, a few months ago, yeah, I agree. But I just, I wanted to know where we are with that, because I don't think it's going to be we're going to get lucky enough to just cut out a couple trees here or there.
We're
going to be hit with it, and I want to be proactive as well.
We're going to lose, and the city here is going to lose a lot of trees.
Okay. Any other questions for his portion of this? All right, next, Supervisor Bruni.
And that takes us to Vaughn, where they have had to cut out a lot of trees.
Wow.
They have a lot of emerald ash borers over there. And then also they have drained the lake to fix the dam. And then Tanya took her position with Madison and left the lake drained. We have not found out what's going on with the dam. The DNR has not followed up with it, and we're still waiting to find out. So now the lake is drained, the dam's not fixed, and the trees are being cut down.
Well, that's great news.
So if you had a campsite out at Bong, I'd suggest that you cancel it this summer.
I just bought my state park sticker.
you might want to take it back.
I go to Eagle.
That's better. So that's what's going on at Bong. Country Thunder comes to us tomorrow night. They are going to be at our place first. We're moving up first. Because then we are calling dance committee to let them know that it has passed or failed so that they can get their activity control license. We had a long discussion with Brian today while we were out at Shadow Belt. They will be getting their paperwork in sooner next year and subsequent years after that. So.
Heard that before.
No, actually, there was a communication issue between Kent and Brian.
So I was reading about our little bike plan issue. What was your committee's feeling on that, or where did that discussion go?
The problem with the bike plan was that we received an 85-page plan 2 days before the meeting, and no one had a chance to look it over. Andrew was brought down from Madison to give us an overview of it, talked about why it's important to have a bike plan, but didn't give us the ingredients of what was actually in our bike plan. She talked what was happening in Madison and what was happening in Oregon, but not what was happening in Kenosha County and what was actually in our bike plan. So we had a conversation with Andy, explained to him that this is what we wanted. And is, I believe, coming down to do the presentation for us on the 18th at our meeting prior to the county board, and then we'll be there at the board meeting to answer any questions. But everyone has the plan. They have 2 weeks to ask any questions.
What time are you meeting?
6:30.
Is that enough time?
Yes.
You're sure?
Yes, because if they don't ask their time, I've told everyone, you better be reading them and asking questions ahead of time.
Okay. Supervisor Esposito.
In my committee, as I spoke with Bernie and Chairman Gantz before the meeting, there was an emergency notice for the laptop type of disbursement of data that we talked about that was 30 days behind. And so, Bernie, am I correct on stating that we basically use one vendor for all this, you said?
One vendor is available to replace the type of command-centered or computer center that sends out the signal and the west end. And from what I read in the emergency order, you could get a new one, a better one, but it would be cost prohibitive, so they just wanted to replace what they had. And because it's a little older technology, there's only one vendor that handles it anyway. But it would, if we went through our normal bid process, it was going to take another couple of months, so they declared an emergency in order to get the contract out.
So we could speed up the process.
So we could get that piece of equipment.
Okay. Where are we at with that?
Where are we at with
starting
it? We're starting.
So 30 days, another 30 days.
I'll find out for you tomorrow.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make everybody aware.
I appreciate it.
What was happening? I wasn't aware of it, too.
I mean, yeah, the thing is, when this happened initially, we could have been informed on that, and I don't think there's anybody on this committee or in this county that would want a breakdown in that area. So I think knowing that there's one vendor and we can fast-track this process, it shouldn't take 60 days to get to us to ask the question and get something solved that should be done right away. I'm not looking to point fingers. At this point, we need to rectify the problem and move on, but we should not have to wait 60 days before we find out that some lightning struck something and it's not working, and, you know.
In all fairness to the administration, obviously they sent it out to try to get it repaired, and this isn't something you can go and Best Buy and pull off a shelf. Sort of type of thing. So.
Again, I'm not pointing a finger at administration. Sure. I'm saying that we needed to be informed immediately, and we need this committee and everybody else on the county board in the county certainly can see a problem with that. I mean, it doesn't take
it's
Vice Chair Kubicki to get fired up to realize that we have an issue, and that should be rectified right away. So I can understand trying to fix it before you know, I get it. But we shouldn't need an executive order calling an emergency. We shouldn't need, to have to circumvent procedure because it should already be done. We should, with the proper communication, we can get that done. So I've expressed my concern to Bernie, to the chairman of the committee. We need to move to get that done post haste. So that's where we are with that. and I'll look for a report from you next meeting, hopefully where we're at with that.
Hopefully it'll be done sooner. Yes.
Supervisor Rose.
Just to underscore the email that I did send out to everyone, Thursday at the Finance Committee, we'll consider the annual levy objective resolution you may want to attend. The resolution as drafted uses the figure percentage not to exceed 2%. So,
anybody here have any concerns with that or want to debate that or talk about it a little bit?
Not tonight.
Okay.
I don't think you could, but...
Well, I mean, we can just discuss it. It's part of your committee. It's on the agenda.
That's up to you.
Well, I think the idea of that is just to discuss what the committee has done, not to discuss new business, that you know, give direction to the committee or things like that.
Well, I didn't mean to give direction to anybody. I just wanted to discuss it. So.
Yeah, I think you're better off letting, I mean, that announcement
that
is
was
just,
my opinion.
That's just fine.
Okay.
But I hope you can make it.
Thanks for the invite, Terry.
On the previous item, I just wanted to maybe give a little insight because I don't think we did say what we were talking about to the youth and governance. The item we were talking about was about laptops. And what occurred was laptops in the squad cars were not working in the western part of the county. So the village of Panic Lake, Silver Lake, Twin Lakes, and our deputies out there, their laptops weren't functioning proper. And there was no quick fix, and so that's what we're looking at. So for us to be discussing, I know you didn't know what we were talking about at all, and that's what it is, and we're you know, looking at a fix. What the chief deputy did say, that no public safety has been at any risk. It's a problem in their work.
And to add to what Don says, it's a tool that's used every day by our men and women in the field. It's not just something that is in the car and it just sits there. It's something that's used every day, and it's something that's very important for our men and women to have use of on a daily basis and not to have any kind of lag time between getting it fixed or whatever. So as he's mentioned, and as our chair of Judiciary and Law mentioned, it's going to be rectified soon. Thank you.
Did you have your hand up?
Nope.
I thought I saw another hand over here. Okay. Any other updates or from the committee? Seeing none.
I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Finance is Thursday.
Yes, Thursday at 6:30, yes.
Here?
Here, yes.
Right here. 5 minutes to speak.
Oh, okay. All right.